Hello, welcome to Sonic Tonic. I'm Greg Perret, and I'm extending a very warm welcome to all of you who are listening. I'll be bringing you music, interviews, and special features from the world of jazz and blues. This podcast is brought to you by the California Jazz Foundation. It's a nonprofit that assists California musicians who have given their lives to this music but have fallen on rough times. Our podcast will reflect the talent, the journeys, and the insights of a wide range of musical artists. So sit back, relax, and enjoy a Sonic Tonic. This episode of Sonic Tonic will be different from previous ones in that I'll not be playing any music. Instead, the focus will be jazz, the art form in this era. I'll be discussing this topic today with Leroy Downs, the renowned LA radio host who goes by the moniker The Jazz Cat. He is currently the creator and host for the KCRW broadcast entitled Just Jazz. His mission statement for the show speaks volumes. Quote, "His goal is to bring a varied sonic experience to jazz, while blending music, style, and culture." End quote. I think that's pretty cool. I have a unique history with Leroy Downs. His father's family lived across the street from my family, and his uncle was my best friend as a kid. Many years later, I was doing a gig in West LA when a gentleman from the audience told me that he was family. When he said his surname, I immediately made the connection, and we've been friends ever since. I have a lot of respect for his opinions about jazz. I also feel he definitely has his finger on the pulse of those musicians who are carrying that banner today. So to my Sonic Tonic audience, I'd like to introduce you to Mr. Leroy Downs, the Jazz Cat.
Greg Perret.
Good morning. How are you doing, Leroy?
I'm very well, man. How are you?
I'm doing good. So how are you on this fine, lovely Chamber of Commerce day morning?
I'm doing pretty good, man. I'm feeling like I need to play some music, so I'm going to get out there and do a set today.
Okay, so will this be a live broadcast?
Actually, yes. As you probably know, I have my own radio station, Sounds and Colors Radio, and I could broadcast remotely. So there's a little cafe, Jackson Cafe LA, that's in Culver City. I just go on over there, set up, and then, you know, put some hours in.
All right, that sounds like a plan. Tell me, Leroy, in your long history in L.A., have you ever found it difficult to find new talent?
Absolutely not.
All right.
I mean, oh my God, the talent is immeasurable. I mean, folks, not only here in Los Angeles, New York, Chicago, and, you know, European as well, but folks are putting out music all the time, man. And even though you know the artist, you may not know every album they have or every song on their album. So there's always so much to dive into. I mean, it's immeasurable, you know, and I find myself when I do these radio shows trying to go through music that I don't know. Like, I may know the artist, but I don't know that album or I don't know these tunes. So as opposed to playing my favorite things all the time, let me explore more and see what I can come up with. And, yeah, it's a beautiful task.
Well, I've always admired your quest for new music. You and I know that over the years, the corporate side of radio has become very formatted, and the radio host population has become far less proactive in finding new artists. They simply play what they're told to play.
That's extremely true. There's money to be made in radio, and I think the idea behind corporate radio is, hey, let's play what they like and what we know they like, things that have been, you know, true over the years to be number one.
Sure.
Hits or very classics. We'll play them that. They'll like it, and then they'll give us money. So I think that's the wrong way to approach it. You know, if you want to love people and love your audience, then the best way to do that is through love and knowledge and hearing things they don't know. Otherwise, what have you created after 10 or 20 years? Someone that listens to the same music all the time, that has a elementary school education in jazz. And that's, I'm not having that, you know?
Yeah. Like I said, I've always admired that about you. I agree. I think expanding one's horizons through new artistic endeavors is vital for the growth of the audience and the artist. You know, art is a subjective thing, but how does one know what they like or don't like if they're not exposed to it?
I think so. What I end up telling folks is the scenario where a child goes to high school and they're there, you know, they're in class, they're learning, but some of them don't like to be in school. And they say, man, I can't wait until I get out of school. You know, they say this in 10th grade, 11th grade, 12th grade, and then they get their wish. They're out of school. They slip by without learning how to learn or learning at all. And so now they're out in the world and they don't want to learn. People don't want to learn. They're very comfortable with what they know. I talk to a lot of, you know, the older jazz audience who know the music. Oh, yeah, man, Freddie Hubbard, Stanley Turrentine, Miles, Herbie. And they tell me this all day long, which is great. But as soon as I tell them something about this, they're like, oh, yeah, that's fine, yeah, but you should have seen so-and-so back in the day.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
So what this means is that they are professionals of jazz, but it really only relies on their own knowledge when they used to listen to jazz, and they stopped doing that probably, let's just say, around 1965 or around 1970. So they may have grown up with it, and they have all that knowledge. And yes, they are a professional
sure.
of jazz because they have that knowledge. However, that knowledge stops at 1970, and everything after that, you don't know. And you're not willing to learn because you're so proud of what you know. And that leaves everybody stuck in this void. They're stuck in the past.
Sure.
And they can get through conversations and they can talk about all of the things that they like to talk about. And oh, yeah, and they can sound good. They can like, yeah, I know my stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But not really. You got to do both. I may not have grown up with, you know, Mingus, Dolphy, and Train, but believe me, I've grown up listening to that music, or I can't say I've grown up. I've invested my time to go back and make sure I get that vibration inside of me. So I know what they're talking about,
yeah.
But I move on. Here in 2020, let's measure the knowledge, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not saying that, you know, I'm no different than anybody else. I'm just saying that you stopped learning about music. I continue to learn it, and I share it with the public. So anybody who listens to me and other people, other broadcasters that are like me in terms of turning people on to, mm-hmm. you know, what's happening and mixing it up with the past, you know, we're not, it's not about leaving the past behind.
Right.
It's about incorporating that, you know. But what I do is I don't play 90% of my music from the past and 10% on what's happening now.
Right.
That doesn't do anything for the economy of the music or for the knowledge of it.
Oh, yeah. That's a great way to put it. Yeah, and it leads me to a take I've had about jazz for years. You know, jazz entered into the educational system in the mid-1960s in a big way. And in my opinion, that's when it became a classical form to be taught. Now, there's nothing wrong with that. But it seems that the curriculums drew from a very specific period in jazz history, though, and if those classes don't acknowledge that jazz is still an evolving art form, then the result is stagnation.
Right.
Now, I feel you've worked really hard to support those who are still pushing the boundaries while acknowledging jazz's history. I mean, is that a fair statement?
Oh, yeah, absolutely a fair statement. The thing about that is you said, you know, jazz got into education.
Yes.
Well, great. When you say that, who are the people that you're talking about that's teaching this education? If it's not the musicians themselves, then that's a problem.
Yeah, if those teachers are in the framework of an educational bubble, it's certainly difficult to know what's happening in those venues where jazz artists are developing their craft. You know, music for me is an art. It's an art form. I've been fortunate enough to make a really good living in commercial music. But, you know, commercial music is one thing and the art of music is another thing. So as a composer, it's not about genre for me or any of that. It's what I feel in my heart and what I put down, you know, as a composer.
Well, that's where it all starts, man. It all starts with the heart, the mind, you know, and, you know, your life politically, the situations that you've lived in through your life and what you've witnessed and what your message and voice inside of yourself needs to get out there and speak about. That's what comes out through the sound, as well as, you know, love and appreciation for friends, family, and beyond.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, important cornerstones for any art form are creativity, innovation, passion, and how much personal integrity and hard work one is willing to invest. Jazz certainly became an important outlet for artists who needed to express those feelings through that music.
Yeah, there's art, there's artists, like you mentioned, and then there are entertainers. And those are the folks that are making music for the people. Like, they think about those out there first, and then they make their music depending on what they think that the people will like.
Mm-hmm.
So even though that is not as honest and genuine, it seems to be where all of the dollars seem to go when they make their music. And that's a business. It's like, hey, why not keep making music like this? I'm getting paid, you know, and becoming popular. I of course, would love to be popular. I would love for people to pay attention to what I'm doing. But there's no way that I can ever lower my standard and just, you know, play anything that's middle of the road or something like that simply because I think they might like this. No, I'm going to do what I know I like and I know it's great music because I'm studying it, I'm researching it, and I'm seeking it out. And I'm sharing it with those who want the same excitement out of the music as I do. And so that's how I'm looking at it. And I hope to get, you know, more people to listen and pay attention. But I, you know, with everything going on in people's lives in the world, you know, that's generally not their focus.
Yeah, I know what you're saying, but your voice and your perspective is needed. And it's my hope that through this Sonic Tonic episode, people get to know you better and will support your shows and various endeavors. So on that note, fill us in.
Well, yeah, absolutely. I mean, I named my show at KCRW after the jazz series that we do called Just Jazz.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, I'd love for people to check it out, but, you know, it's like, that's on them. What I want more than people coming to check it out is I want them to have the desire to hear and learn more music. That's what it's about. You know, some of my favorite people, there are people who say, "Oh, I love jazz." I'm like, okay, well, if you say that to me, then generally that means that you love all of the music that you know so much. And you know, I'm a jazz guy, so you're going to start reciting all of the things that you know. And, you know, you want some sort of, head nod or some sort of knowledge that, oh, yeah, that's great. And I'm going to give that to you because you said you love jazz.
Sure.
But the people who I really love are the ones that they're into it. They're seekers as well. They're going out there. They're checking out music. And, you know, it's like, hey, they may even hit me to some music, which I think is great because mm-hmm. I'm just going to turn around and share it. And the other group of people that I love were the people like, oh, well, I never heard of that or I don't know about that, but I'm open to it. Those are the key words, man. When you say you are open to music, that means that your mind is open. You're ready to take in something that you don't know. You're not scared of not having the knowledge of the music, but you're willing to be open to hear what you're going to hear and make of it what you will.
Exactly.
That I appreciate.
Yeah, well said. You know, you're right. Just because you're experiencing something new doesn't mean you have to like it or dislike it. You just have to have the courage to be open enough to experience it and then make your decisions accordingly.
I think is that people are just taking what they're given. Mm. And there's a large source to turn in on as a radio station that plays jazz. You tune into that. And if you listen to that, you know, then it's like, hey, I'm listening to jazz. I know jazz. And so you can't really argue with that so much. But they're just taking what they're given.
Yes.
There's no demands. There's no like, hey, man, I want to hear some Archie Shepp. Or I want to hear, you know, there are no demands on it. And when you don't have the knowledge about jazz and you're listening to some radio or what have you, and they're playing jazz, that's your knowledge. And so it's up to those program hosts to be able to give you something so that you'll have some knowledge. And now if they're feeding you, you know, old information, then that's what you're getting. And you don't even know.
Okay. So in the world of program hosts, do you find those hosts who are taking the same initiatives you are?
Well, I mean, I know a couple of people who actually do that.
Okay.
But then at the same time, you know, you can only do what your radio station is allowing you to do. They're hiring you to do this.
Mm-hmm.
And if you're limited in that capacity, then that's all you can do. And you can't really do anymore.
Yeah, I get it. You know, another point I'd like to bring up is that the ratio of experiencing music live and experiencing music as a recording has shifted in favor of recordings. But it seems in this era, it's a lot more difficult and costly to put live music in smaller venues. So what's your experience with live versus recordings?
Well, I mean, yeah, I'm listening to those recordings and I may not have an opportunity to see the music live because, you know, all these people don't live here in Los Angeles.
Sure.
Thankfully, I've created a jazz series, so that I can try to get those people to come to L.A. to play live. Now, the beauty about that is, yeah, these people are on their way to other gigs around the world. I'll try to snatch them out of the air and see if they can play something here. The bad part about that is that since no one's out there seeking and trying to discover new music, you know, when I put a Jin Shu or I'm playing some artist that, you know, folks may not know, then it's like, well, I don't know who that is, so I'm not willing to go and spend money on somebody I don't know. Mm-hmm. Even though we send out, you know, an email blast and do the social media where you can click, you can watch a video, you can read a bio, you can learn.
Mm-hmm.
If you're not in that headspace where you're willing to learn and explore and check it out, you should be able to trust me by now. I've been doing this for decades. So hopefully if you know me and you trust me, then you're like, okay, he's behind it. Well, let's check this out. Oh, this is nice, or this is different. I'm like, oh, this is interesting. Then, you know, I don't know if you think it's a gamble with your money to come out and see the live music or not, but I already know the beauty, which is why I reached out to have the person there.
Well, to me, it's not a gamble of one's money. It's an investment of one's money to gain a new experience.
I agree. It's an investment in yourself. You know, you become a better person when you learn this music, and you can hear it on the radio, but the best vibrations to get this music is live, because those vibrations go directly into your body and you wear that experience out of the venue. So in your daily life, you now have the energy still inside you that you got from that evening of music, and you could talk about it, or you could teach another person about it, or you could take your son or daughter or whoever else that you want to share this experience with. You can do that. You got the power to do that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Again, well said. Well, I've certainly gotten to a point in my life where I'd rather hear live music in a small venue.
Yeah, well, that's the intimate setting. That's where you're going to be, not only be able to experience the music, but I'd say a very high probability that you'll be able to meet the artist, touch the artist, actually hear the artist say something about their music, you know, and provide you with more information that you could not have possibly gotten by listening to the radio. And a large venue, you're going to see them at the Hollywood Bowl. When they're done, the stage turns, they're gone. You don't have any connection with that artist.
Yeah. You know, I have to say, over the years, my fondest musical experiences outside of performing have been in small venues listening to live music and from different cultures with unique instrumentation. I remember hearing a jazz concert some years ago where the instrumentation included the oud and tablas, you know, Middle Eastern instruments.
Yeah, it's important. The oud is beautiful. And that's another thing that I like to do with the music, too. I mean, if you listen to any of my shows, you'll hear how I'm blending in all of these cultures who have learned from, you know, the music here in America, you know, whether it's Latin music, whether it's, you know, Indian music, whether it's whatever it is, I'm loving the sound, whether it's Japanese, what have you. They have an approach to the music, and they have different instrumentations, different time signatures, and all of that. And so when I hear it, I'm like, ooh, this is gorgeous. So I'm going to play it. Whether I may understand, maybe I don't let's just say maybe I don't understand it. Doesn't matter. Needs can be heard. And I do understand it in terms of how, you know, the sounds are mixing and blending. You know, I didn't go to school to learn music. I never played an instrument in my life. And, you know, I feel a little bad about that. But I was never approached with any instruments in elementary school or junior high school or high school. So I never really learned how to play. But I knew that I'm like, I'm so drawn to this. I have to be a part of it in some sort of way. And, you know, if you gave me an upright bass, you would never see me because I'm just going to stay in the bedroom 24 hours a day playing that. And so I think I'm a little, it's going to do everybody a little bit better if I'm actually out here sharing, you know, the sounds with the world as opposed to, you know, being in the shed, because that's where I'd be, you know.
Mm-hmm. Well, Leroy, I appreciate what you do. I've always admired your dedication and your championing of what is innovative and passionate in music.
Well, thank you, man. I appreciate that. I mean, one of the things that I haven't liked or I haven't noticed is that, you know, I think that there are some people that should be in charge of this music, and those who are in charge of it, those who, you know, own the outlets and the venues and all of these other things, of course they have to pay their rent. So they're going to try to book the more common things where people can, you know, they can make some money. And yeah, it's about money, man. I mean, but, you know, I've gone bankrupt playing this music. You know, I've invested a lot into, I'm talking, you know, over, you know, thousands of dollars to try to share this with people, you know. And yeah, there are people who come out and get it. You know, they love it. And they love the fact that they don't know who this artist is. And by the end of the night, they've discovered something new. Those are usually, those are creative minds. So those people are creative people and they seek that creativity. Now, I don't know, and you wouldn't know this either, what the mind of a regular lay person is. I don't know how they approach music. I don't know how important it is to them. I don't know what they think or how they think or try to learn or try to get this. Maybe they don't care. Maybe they're very complacent and just accepting what's out there and given to them, you know, as opposed to going to seek it out.
Yeah, I know what you're saying, you know. Well, you know, with the incredible amount of information we're all bombarded with, I do think it's understandable that when it comes to music, people seek out their comfort zones. That said, though, I do admire those folks who are curious and hungry for new music in spite of the pressures of daily life. And on a very personal level, I think not being curious and not wanting to evolve or experience another point of view is very short-sighted.
Yeah, and there are a lot of people out there that are like that. I'm like, oh, well, okay. Hey, nice to meet you. I'm out, because I need people that are learning. I need people that are going to, you know, understand and seek. I need to have some conversations. What conversations can we possibly have if you're not seeking the better things in life? I don't know what those could be.
Sure.
So, you know, I'm like, all right, well, I guess if that's how you do it, that's how you do it. But I'm out here to share it with more folks. And the thing about it is, if you take them, if you beat them over the head, if you bring them in and handcuff them to a chair and make them sit through a set of music, at the end of it, they're like, oh, yeah, this is great. You know, I can't go through all that. All I can do is be open and invite folks. I think a problem happened way back in the day where all of the quote unquote cool folks, you know, they know that, yeah, this is hip. I know this music. I know Slugs. I'm going to see Lee Morgan. I'm like, okay, but they weren't sharing that with other people. They were keeping that knowledge to themselves. And so all these other people would never go to one of those places, and they weren't invited to go to those places because they weren't quote unquote cool. And, you know, you had the jazz police, like, I know this and you don't know this, and they, oh man, you're square. You know, all of that stuff kind of harmed a lot of folks in America, and they're like, fine, I got the Beatles or I got Motown. I'm just going to go do it over here.
Sure.
And so those people weren't invited in with love. And now it creates two separate worlds, you know.
Yeah.
And that jazz police thing and all that stuff, that needed to go. I'm glad that that's not there anymore. You know, it needed to go, and people, we need to open our arms with love and bring people in. And, you know, whether they get it or not, you know, it's like, hey, don't be, people are so afraid of one note. They hear one note, like, oh, they're like, oh my gosh, that is a note on a piano or a note on a saxophone. Chill, it's not going to stay there. You know, it's going to develop, and you can't, you don't get a chance to see the whole flower if you're only looking at, you know, one stem. I'm like, hold on, man, there's more to this flower than what you just heard. And it depends on if you have the patience to see how you know, a caterpillar becomes a butterfly, you know?
Yeah, well said. I like that. I'm using that one, my friend. Well, for a lot of people, being open-minded is difficult, and I get it. Of course, artists in every genre have been faced with that, and throughout the centuries, how many artists have been harshly criticized, and then down the road, they were considered geniuses or the best at what they did, jazz being no exception.
Yeah, well, those are the people who are, you know, who are run by fear, and there's a lot of fear when it comes to this music, and there's a lot of fear because, you know, black people are the ones who've created, and, you know, they don't want that. I mean, if you want to take it all the way back to the day, and you would think by now in 2021, all of that is like, whatever, man. It's like, we just love the music. No, I mean, but if you look at the country that we live in, if you look at the insurrections and all the things that are still going on, that type of mentality has still been there. And
sadly, it's still with us.
Yeah, which is I can't say it's understandable. I don't know why. Like, that might have been your grandfather, and that might have been your parents. But, you know, if you're able to raise up and understand the world you live in yourself and have some sense of who you are in the world without being dictated to by, you know, people that are close to your family, and like, you got to realize that, hey, man, maybe they were thinking this way. I'm here. They can't possibly, you know what I'm living right now. They live and they have their experiences, but their experiences aren't mine. So you should be able to learn from yourself and, you know, check some things out. And I'm sure that, well, you know, okay. So I was about to say I'm sure that, but this may not be true. It depends on the people that you meet, you know. It depends on the different cultures that you meet. If you're in a neighborhood where, you know, people of color are stealing and robbing, then that's what you're going to think. But if you're not in that neighborhood and you come across people who aren't that, it's like, well, this guy's nice, or this woman is really nice. Oh, wow, she's sweet, or whatever. You know, oh, she's strong. Well, people are afraid of that, just like they're afraid of the music. They hear one note, ooh, that's a little harsh for me. Like, you know, and so I don't know, man. I don't know what it takes to get people to step beyond that.
Well, you know, all of this stuff we're talking about is very important to me. As you know, music is my life, and I think the perspective you bring to all your endeavors is very needed.
Well, thank you, man. I just look at all the people. I look at all the musicians. I see what they're creating. I hear those sounds. I mean, I remember telling myself way back in the day, you know, I heard some Eric Dolphy, and I'm like, man, my thing is, I'm like, man, I'll be happy when I can understand this. Because I didn't understand it. I didn't know what was happening, but I'm like, it's like, I don't understand this, but I want to figure this out. I know it's cool. I know it's got to be cool, but I don't know yet. So, I remember as a person who didn't know really anything about jazz, man, I'm born and raised here. I was born and raised on 1580 KD, hip hop music. Okay. That's where I was born, and that's what's in my soul. And I love it, but I turned away from it mostly because, you know, it's like, oh, the words and the language sometimes is not cool. But, man, when you get these guys thinking and, you know, like somebody like Black Thought, you know, it's like, man, these guys are so geniusly intelligent in terms of how they're putting it, or Mos Def. I just played some Mos Def on my my jazz show this past Sunday because it's appropriate. You know, you mix it with some jazz and it's fantastic, you know. I think hip-hop music is very intoxicating. I think what happens is when you put spoken word together with very powerful rhythms, it's intoxicating. And the thing about it is, whether you want to or you don't want to, that music goes directly in. It's like a bullet. It's like there's no stopping it. It goes directly in. So whether you like it or you don't like it, you're going to have that inside of you because those rhythms are too powerful. I mean, when I used to work at K-Jazz back in the day, and I started my Monday off, I guess that would be Monday. It was Sunday night. I'm going in starting at, you know, midnight, which is Monday.
Mm-hmm.
As I'm driving down to Long Beach, there is a show on Power 106, Sway and Tech. These cats were killing it, and they had battle raps and all of that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm driving to Long Beach, and I am jamming on these cats that are just spitting on the microphone, man, off the top of their heads with some super incredible line behind them. And it lit me up so much that, man, when I go into the station, I'm like, "Ooh, give me that, man, Curtis Fuller train. Give me some Dolphy. I need this Freddie." I mean, I just turned it right into some incredible jazz, you know.
Mm-hmm.
That energy is that intoxicating energy. I just turned it right back around only through jazz. So now I'm kind of like playing that hip-hop, that strong, you know, sentiment through the music, man. And that's kind of what built me.
Well, what you've built and what you stand for, in my opinion, is impressive, and I applaud you for it, my friend. Leroy, this has been a wonderful interview. I mean, this has been great. I couldn't have asked for anything better. I really wanted to have you on the show.
Well, thank you, man. It's not often that I get a chance to express myself. I kind of hold these things, you know, in, and I put them out through the music, and I hope that people are listening and learning and loving. If you'd like to check out any of my shows, I mean, you can go to kcrw.com and look for my page there. There are some archived shows there. We have a series, of course, a very popular series in Hollywood, and we're not back to live music yet, but you can check out all the things that we're doing at justjazz.tv. There's a lot of great things there. If you want to see more about, you know, the Jazz Cat and Leroy Downs, you can also check out the link, the jazzcat.tel. Basically, that is a link that has links to my show and links to, I have a Just Jazz app with a lot of television shows and interviews and articles. And I have a radio station called soundsandcolorsradio.com. I'm going to be broadcasting from there this afternoon. So if you'd like to tune in, you can do that. There's just quite a bit, man. And I just wanted to share that with your listeners because, you know, there's a lot of information. Basically, my app has pretty much, you know, 25 years of articles talking to people that aren't here anymore, man. And you know, there's a lot of creative music that's out there, and I get a chance to express that. So hopefully somebody will take us up on that and click on one of those links and listen to some music or listen to any of those interviews, you know, because as you're doing Sonic Tonic, you know, for years, I've always wanted to reach out to the artists because I need to know what's inside of them. I need to know why they create this music. I need to hear that honesty and that truth. And then we need to hear it through the sound, you know, so it's all important.
All right, my friend. Thank you so much, Leroy. I really appreciate this.
You got it, sir. Thank you.
That interview with Leroy Downs took place on May 23rd of 2021. Again, thank you for listening to Sonic Tonic, brought to you by the California Jazz Foundation. Please visit our website at californiajazzfoundation.org and find out how you can make a difference in the life of a musician in need. Until the next one, this is Greg Perret wishing you all the best.